we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Broward County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and you find me here 91.5 Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. At 10:30 of a morning, you can find us in my melodious vocal tones on 1510 AM WWBC right here in Brevard County. We want to thank you for making us part of your day. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening in Brevard County, a lot of progress that is being made, new buildings going up. And if you are considering a renovation or a new driveway or something like that, I want to recommend the folks at Jits Concrete to you, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They are professionals with decades of experience. Not afraid of the hard work. They already know everything, the right way to do it, the right thicknesses, all of that sort of stuff. And so with so much work that is going on, by the way, I have been told that they even get called from other areas because they are so good at what they do. So if you're needing some work done in the near future, give them a call. Don't wait until the day before you need concrete and say, hey, can you all come out and tell us how much it'd be to do this job? That's not going to work. You know, there's so much construction right now that they've got to find out from the concrete company when they can get the concrete delivered. And you want to make sure that you are getting the project you want at the price that you need. And I just recommend them so, so very highly. They've done lots and lots of work for us and are a major blessing here in Brevard County. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we've been talking now for several weeks, and we've got some more to go here. But today, I believe, will be the last in the Old Testament about the fact that light is so important. Jesus said he is the light of the world. And in Matthew chapter 5, he said that we are the light of the world. And we're talking about that light. And over the next couple of programs, I want to share with you that it is you and I that make the decision as to how much light our life is going to have in it. There are things that we do that diminish the amount of light that we have. There are things that we do that increase the light that we have in our life. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're going to be in the book of Micah. It is in the Minor Prophet. It's towards the back of the Old Testament. You're going to find to the right of it, you're going to find the book of Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So pretty much right in the middle of the Minor Prophets, you will find the little book of Micah, seven chapters. We're going to be in the seventh chapter. We're going to be talking today about basically self-inflicted darkness. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I'm a light guy. I want things bright. I want to be able to see the shadal variations of the paint color on the wall. I like to be able to distinguish thing. I don't want there to be much darkness in my life at all. So let's look at Micah chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net. That they may successfully do evil with both hands, the prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire, so they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my case and executes judgment, justice for me, he will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her, who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. And that's where we're going to stop right there. So this passage begins very lamentably. It begins with a woe. Woe is an opposite of blessed. It's not something you look forward to. It is something that you dread. It's not a desirable condition. And the prophet here, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, woe is me, and goes on to describe that as a person that was looking for the very first of fruits, the very best of the fruits, and when he got out there, the thing that his soul desired was nowhere to be found. I don't know if you've ever gone through that, where your expectation was at a certain level, and then all of a sudden, when you got there, your expectation was unfulfilled. You know, expectation is a deceiving thing. If you get your expectations placed in the wrong element, there are times when I will go to take a drink of something. For instance, I was looking for a caffeine-free Pepsi one night. I couldn't find it, so I ended up with a caffeine-free Coke, and I don't remember that I'd ever had a caffeine-free Coca-Cola before, but I was expecting it to taste like a regular Coca-Cola, and it didn't. And my taste buds, the expectations that my taste buds had did not match what the taste buds experienced. And I had a flashback, and it's like, man, that doesn't taste like Pepsi, and that doesn't taste like Coke. Tastes more like Royal Crown Cola is what it tasted like. And it wasn't that it was in a different variety or a different genre of what I was expecting. It just didn't taste right. Here, you and I, we can have expectations that are going to fulfill our soul. But if the spiritual climate is not right, instead of the exuberance of having an expectation fulfilled, we're going to find the disappointment and discouragement of what happens. It says here in verse number 2 that the reason that there was a famine in the land of this variety is because faithfulness had disappeared. It says, the faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. How about we change that dynamic in our day and time? There are plenty of stories out there about people who are unfaithful. I'm telling you, there is only one cure for unfaithfulness. It's not a self-help program. It's not therapy. The only cure for unfaithfulness is an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this once, I'll tell it to you 1,000 times. If you are walking in agreement with an unfaithful person, your heart is going to be broken over and over and over again, because there is only one cure for unfaithfulness, and his name is Jesus. And so I think that we could agree that there is more than enough unfaithfulness in the land. I will tell you this, it does not take any specific skill set to be unfaithful. Anybody can be unfaithful. Absolutely anybody can be unfaithful. It takes a person of character. It takes a person of faith. It takes a person who is willing to put in the time and the effort to be faithful. That is where the real fortitude comes into existence. I was watching a little video clip the other day, and it said the one determination, there's a test that you can give to a child or you can give to an older person, either one, and it will determine whether or not they are going to be successful in the future. And that is a test that shows that there is a greater reward for waiting than there is for having an immediate gratification. So would you rather me give you $1 now or $2 later? I don't know about you. $2 sounds good. I can wait the extra hour for $2. But there are some people that they want it all right now. That's the spirit of unfaithfulness. And Micah prophesies, he said, listen, the entire society that we have here where we're supposed to be faithful to our God, there's unfaithfulness everywhere. And it says each person is looking to harm and to maim and to injure every other person in society. It is turned into a dog-eat-dog world. And I will tell you this, when that happens, Satan has won. Satan has won that battle. There are many times in scriptures that when an army would come against Israel, Israel would go out there and they would find that the army that was supposed to be fighting them had turned to infighting amongst themselves. And when Israel got out there, the battle was already over. It goes on and it talks that it had permeated the government. It had permeated the justice system. It had permeated those of great influence. It had permeated every area of society that there was this sin and depravity that was going on to the point that you could not even have a trustworthy relationship with the people in your own house, including your spouse. It says, guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. Son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. That is the darkness of society. That's civil war at its best demonstration. And I want you to know that God does not, that's not his plan. That's the devil's plan. And Micah said, instead of joining in all of this chaos and instead of joining in all of this darkness that is going on, I am going to pursue a different path. I am going to see if I can't do something about that that inability to find a faithful man. I'm going to be that faith. I'm going to be the first one. And he says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. It doesn't say this here in the scripture, but I'm going to add it here. I'm going to cry out to God. My God will hear me. Okay? That's very important because what we're getting ready to talk about in verses 8 and 9 is the fact that God is getting ready to change the situation. We many times want God to change the circumstances without changing our heart, but that's not the way that it works. God is looking to change our heart, and the circumstances will change as a result of that. So during this month of July, as we're setting aside this month, we're scaling back our schedule so that we can seek the face of the Lord, so that we can hear from heaven revive me according to your word, O Lord. That's in Psalm 119. That is where we are wanting to position ourselves. And so it takes some bold people who are willing to go against the madness and the chaos and the self-serving interest of those who are looking just for their next victim. And I tell you, we live in an interesting time. We really do. I don't recall ever having seen a time of anarchy like we see now. Here a few weeks ago, I was out to take a guest speaker out to eat, and there was a person, and I don't know who they were, never met them, never seen them, never spoke to them or anything like that to have this, but they were deliberately, repeatedly, trying to stir up a pot. And I was just like, no, I didn't say a word. I'm not taking that bait. I'm just not. And so for you and I, we're going to say, you know what? Instead of getting involved with all of the carnage that is going on with the rest of society, I'm going to set my sights on God. I'm going to wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I tell people this through the years as I've preached in churches and in our church, the nursery is not that far away. And if you hear a baby cry, there have been times when we've had multiple babies in the nursery, and one of the babies would start crying, and the correct mother would be able to get up and say, you know what? That's my child. I recognize the voice of my child. And today I just want to let you know that God knows the frequency of your voice. Your God will hear your prayer. He will hear the cry of your heart. He will not turn a deaf ear to you. He is a good God. He will hear you. He will hear me. Okay? Verse number 8 says this: Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Okay? And so this person that is taking this stand for righteousness, it says, don't rejoice. This isn't over. That's a good word for somebody today. The enemy might think that he has you in an unwinnable situation, but I want the spirit of faith to arise within you right now, where you echo the refrains of Micah chapter 7, verse number 8, and you say, you are rejoicing prematurely. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that if I were you. When I fall, I will get back up. Now, let's be realistic, okay? In our society, the weekends are the things that everybody looks forward to, but it is also the time frame where people stumble and sin more than any other time during the week. People get, I've known people that got paid on Friday afternoon, and before they ever got home, they were already broke. They'd already spent their rent money, the car payment money, the electric bill money. They were completely and totally broke, and now they've got no place to go. They went out and they blew it all. I've known people that said, man, I am looking forward to this new year and starting off with a clean slate. And I've known people who had that mindset, and they were arrested in jail before dawn on January the 1st. Okay, that's not hyperbole. That's reality. And it says when I fall, when I've stumbled, I'm going to get back up. I will arise. And this prophet begins to speak prophetically about Israel, that though society looks very bad and that there's a falling of the nation, that God's not going to let that nation stay down forever. And so today, Maybe you had a less than desirable weekend. Maybe you had a weekend where it wasn't your finest spiritual hour. I want to tell you, don't give in to the devil's condemnation. Don't give in to hopelessness. Don't give in to the temptation, said, well, I blew it, I might as well blow it big. Instead, allow the Spirit of the living God to bring you an attitude of repentance that says, God, I want to live differently. I am tired of getting knocked down. I am tired of spiritual defeat. I want you to do a radical work in me so that I will be able to stand in righteousness. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about stand. And when you have done all, stand. And I think it says it like four or five times there. You and I, we need to say, you know what? Enough of this. I don't know about you, but if somebody was punching me in the face, I'd be looking for what I could do to stop getting punched in the face. That's just, maybe it's just me. I don't like my face getting punched. It says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Listen, this is something that is not very popular in America right now, but sin, as God has defined it, has been, will always be, and currently is still sin. There are a lot of people who want to play semantics with it, and they want to label adultery, affairs, and immorality. They don't want to even touch on that. There's all sorts of other things that are going on, but sin is still sin. Fear is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Being a coward is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Being a drunk or a drug addict is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Being overrun by sexual immorality of every variety that you can imagine is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. Premaritally, extramaritally, it doesn't matter. Non-maritally, it is completely and totally unacceptable. It needs to be forgiven. It needs to be repented of, confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and being forgiven and empowered to live in a righteous lifestyle. And it's because of that mindset, said, I have sinned against him, but he's going to plead my case, and he's going to execute justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. It is that guilty plea to Jesus that offers Jesus this tremendous caveat in the courtroom of grace, where he says, Father, they were guilty of that sin. They've confessed, but I've paid the price for them. I went to the cross for them. I did it before the foundation of the world. Mine was not a reaction to their sin. Mine was proactive before they ever sinned. God, I loved them so much, I was willing to pay the penalty for their sin before we ever formed the world. And God, I want to plead their cause to you right now and ask you to forgive them because of the blood that I shed. The price has been paid. You know, Most lawyers in courtrooms are looking to get you off on a non-guilty issue. The kingdom of heaven operates quite differently. It is when we say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. That Jesus says, oh, now we have something to work with. Now we have something to work with. I forgave your sins before you ever sinned. I was just waiting for you to ask. And now we can go before the throne room of grace and we can find the help that you need right now. It says, God will bring you forth to the light. We'll talk about, how much people love darkness and things like that here on future broadcasts. But I want you to know that God wants to call people like we're talking about here in Micah chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. He's looking to bring those people out of the shadows. See, people who are doing backroom deals and underhanded deals and under the table things and all of that sort of stuff, all of that type of nonsense is done in the shadows. It's done in the dark. But God wants to call people of righteousness. He wants to call them into the light. And Micah says, I will see his righteousness. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that God could give us a heart of resolve in July of 2018 here on July the 23rd? Do you think that God could give us a heart of resolve that this week, when the temptation comes our way that caused us to fall before, this time we can say, God has equipped me for this battle. There have been times. Well, let me just talk to you about when David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The first time he tried to do it the way that the Philistines had transported the Ark, and there was a stumbling of the oxen as that Ark was being transported. And when the oxen stumbled, the Ark teetered and it tottered, and Uzzah reached out his hand and he touched the Ark of the Covenant. That was a no, don't do that. And Uzzah died in the process. David got really, really upset, got really hurt, said that thing's not coming into my city. And he sent it to the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom was getting blessed abundantly with a supernatural harvest. They said, you know, David, you might want to reconsider. And so he went back and he studied the scriptures and he said, you know what? It's the Levites that are supposed to be the one that carry this on their shoulder. And that's the reason that this happened before. God took the situation with David and the ark and he said, what was a failure in your past now, because of the word of God and because you're doing it the way I commanded you to do it, where you experienced failure in the past, you are going to experience success today. If you had a bad weekend last weekend and the devil is rejoicing over all of the stumbling that you had in your life, I want you to get on your knees and repent. If you're driving right now, don't do it while you're driving. Wait till you get someplace where you can, repent of the Lord and of that to the Lord and say, God, I want you to equip me with the word. How do I successfully navigate this temptation? And you know what? Instead of having more darkness in your life, you will have more light in your life and you will have a desire for righteousness. You will see his righteousness in your life. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an